call the meeting to order. Our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. Ms. Cornwell, I believe we have an amendment to the agenda this evening.
Yes, conditional use 2189 Grace Malone has been removed from tonight's agenda. It will be rescheduled for a later date.
Okay, anyone here for conditional use number 2189 Grace Malone? That hearing will not happen this evening. It will happen at a later time. It'll be rescheduled for a later time. Okay, any other changes?
No other changes.
Okay.
Making a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right. There are no minutes to approve this evening. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the time already for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that you have to turn that off. I can assure you of that. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on an application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending application. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. As Chairman Wheatley already said, if you have a telephone or similar device, we do ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comments. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions also does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, there will also not be any direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents. Any question should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will not be any rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing an application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we begin, I'd like to ask if our security officer would be so kind as to close that blind over there, because there's a wicked reflection. This one. The sun is you got her. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help. All right. For those of you who arrived just a few minutes late, the first public hearing, conditional use number 2189, Grace Malone, has been removed from the agenda this evening and will be heard at a later date. So our first public hearing is change of zone number 1890, WB Hudson Family Limited.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district and an MR medium density residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 37.08 acres more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 340 feet east of Harbison Road Route 5, and on the east side of Harbison Road Route 5, approximately 456 feet south of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcels district 235, map 30, parcels 62, 64, 66, 67, 70, and 72. Staff note for the record, there's a staff analysis, a site plan, an exhibit booklet. The comments, the applicant's response back to the PLUS application. We also have comments from the Sussex Conservation District and the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We'd also note we have one letter in support and one letter in opposition to the application. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing? Yes, sir, Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with the firm Panani Associates. Well, we're located just outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here tonight representing the applicant, W&B Hudson Family Limited. And with me tonight is Mr. Wayne Hudson, representing the family. As introduced, this was an application to grant a rezoning of a portion of lands in the AR1 agricultural residential district located on 37.08 acres more or less in the Broadkill 100, located on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is US Route 9, and on the east side of Harbison Road, which is Delaware Route 5, to C3 heavy commercial district. In the booklets, as Ms. Cormell described, that the booklets were handed in under tab number one, there is a boundary plat, a legal description, and the application that was part of the hearing exhibit. The subject properties have been owned by the Hudson family for several generations, as well as other adjacent lands in the community across Route 9 and in the general vicinity. Mr. Hudson himself, there is a house located on the property, and Mr. Hudson himself grew up in this house right, is located right there. The lands have been used in the past for farming, and then as you see the tire tracks on this particular aerial photo here, the property is subject to a biosolid permit by Denerec, where they do land apply for as part of the Clean Delaware Incorporated, which is a local waste hauling company. Mr. Hudson was part of that company at one time. The properties are bordered on the north in the existing commercial property by the Royal Farms, the brand new Royal Farms that is currently open, along with the reconstruction of the intersection and portions of US Route 9 and Delaware Route 5, and also by properties owned by Custom Framers General Contracting. Both those properties are zoned CR1. It's bordered on the south by the Delmarva Central Railroad, which is an active railroad. And then on the opposite side of the on the railroad tracks there are lands that are in ag preservation. Zoned on the west with the existing commercial uses such as church and some MR zone properties. And then on the east by bordered on the east by some agricultural lands as well. As I stated, the property is just situated off the intersection of US Route 9 and Delaware Route 5, which is a major crossroad. Route 9 being a east to west corridor from Five Points SR1 all the way to the town of Georgetown, and then Delaware Route 5, which is Harbison Road, is a north-south corridor that goes from goes up to town of Milton and down to Long Neck and Delaware Route 24. In that area there. As part of the hearing exhibit, I submitted, although site planning is not part of a rezoning, it's the property and how the property fits in with the within the area and if this is the right place for this type of zoning. But I did submit a what I call a bubble sketch, kind of showing some of the uses that Mr. Hudson and his family are proposing for the properties. So the purpose of the C3 zoning district is to support uses that include retail and service businesses along major arterial roads that serve local and regional residents as well as the traveling public. It permits a variety of retail, professional, and service businesses. The granting of this application for the commercial for C3 zoning will allow the Hudson family to create a shopping complex constructed around a community supermarket and drugstore as the anchors that will provide for the sale of convenience goods and personal services for day-to-day living needs of the nearby existing and future communities. And then in the back, some warehousing and storage in the back along the existing railroad line is being proposed as well. So as I show here on this exhibit here, I do show currently through the property. The property is fairly deep. It's about 1,200 feet deep. But we know that through past designs of commercial properties and shopping centers, typically the first 600 feet back is usually the ideal sweet spot for commercial zoning on any given piece of property. That's how zoning was configured. There are a lot of properties up and down Route 9. If you look at how the property was rezoned, it was zoned the first 600 feet back, and then properties behind there were, so they were dual zone properties. The idea of this shopping center here, or this piece of property here, was we took the first 400 to 500 feet back, that's in the orange back here, and we looked at that for doing support services and some commercial entities, such as, you know, small grocer, some a pharmacy, and other type of retail, small retail services. And then in the back here, we were looking at possibly doing future warehouse and storage area. As we know that as you trend back on the property, on commercial property, the uses tend to drop off as far as the types of commercial uses that you can. And there is a need for future warehousing and storage within the area, although not self-storage, but warehouse, contractor storage and warehousing for goods and services. And I'll get into that in just a little bit more as I go through my presentation. The proposed rezoning to C3 for the Hudson family is in the vicinity of other commercial zone properties and the uses and will not diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. It will not create a public nuisance or result in increase in public expenditures. I provided an exhibit some of the area commercial properties that surround this piece of property here. This exhibit is in your booklet. You'll notice that, again, I talked about how custom frame and this property goes around custom framers and general contracting. We got the new rural farms here on the corner. There's also across the road, there's the Delmarva Power Substation, there's Hyatt Refrigeration. Mr. Hudson's brother owns a large truck and trailer service across the road. There's also an antique shop. Along Hudson Road here, I mentioned that there is the Harvesting United Methodist Church is right behind the rural farms. And then there's Lawson's Produce Tree Service and Landscaping. And right here in the corner here, there is a large cell tower that abuts Mr. Hudson's property that sits along that. And across the road from here, as everybody knows, as the Harbison area, there's a large heavy industrial zone piece of property that's owned, which is this area right in here, which is owned by Alan Harim. The subject property was once part of a developing area of Harbison under the 2007 comprehensive plan, which is an area that supported local community commercial given its character and size as well as existing infrastructure currently in place. I did, for the exhibit, I did supply what the future land use plan looked like, and the you can see how the developing area encompassed my client's property, as well as a larger portion on both sides of the railroad track in the future. So as I talk a little bit more, I'm going to tell how important, how we went from, you went from the 2007 comprehensive plan to now the 2019 plan. Portions of the property, of Mr. Hudson's property, is still in the developing area, and some of the developing area that was part of the yellow that you see here on the 2007, some of those areas still exist along Route 5 and along Route 9. In the 2019 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which is called the Sussex Plan, the area for the proposed rezoning for the Hudson family, commercial property is identified to be in the low density area. And again, like I said, and part of it is in the a small portion of the property is in the developing area. And as I previously stated, this was once part of a larger developing area. And I did provide the 2045 future land use map as part of my exhibit. In Chapter 1, it talks about in the comprehensive plans that while the comprehensive plan acts as a policy guide for future development and decision making, county code regulates the use of land and creation of lots and associated improvements. And the reason I bring that up is because the difference between, you know, with this being in the low density, I understand that in the future land use plan, or under the Chapter 4 of the future land use plan, it talks about the zonings being, one of the zonings in this property is a C2 zoning. But as I compared the two zonings, the C2 and the C3, the only difference I see in those two zonings is the amount of gross leasable floor area that you can do in that district. The permitted uses in each one of those zoning categories are pretty much the same. I didn't really see a large difference in the permitted uses. It's just that C2 only allows up to 75,000 square feet, where C3 allows up to 150,000 square feet. This parcel, what we're asking for here is for 37 acres, and we felt that with some of the warehousing that Mr. Hudson and his family want to do on the site, we'll achieve that 75,000 square feet quickly and not be able to do any more within the entire parcel of this site. The Sussex plan suggests that each application should be reviewed on its own merit and does not have a negative impact. Excuse me for a second.
Mark, so you say it's 75,000 or 30-some thousand per site, no matter how big the site is?
That's C2 only allows up to 75,000 square feet of building area. So, but C3,
like in this case, on all 30 acres.
Yes, that's correct.
Why? Does that make sense?
Well, no, but that's why I'm asking for C3. So, because it allows us to go up to 150,000 square feet for a much larger parcel. The rule of thumb in land planning that we've always gone by as land planners and working on projects is it's always been, if everything's right, if the stars line up for the property and everything is good, you have central water, central sewer, you can do about 7,500 square feet per acre on commercial ground. That's very generous. I mean, sometimes it's only around 5,000 square feet per acre, but usually it's about 7,500 square feet. So if you do the math, 7,500 square, 10 acres is about 75,000 square feet. With this parcel being 37 acres, I mean, we're asking for us to be able to do a little bit more of the square footage. The only way I can do that is ask for the C3 zoning on this particular property. Again, the uses are all the same from what I can tell when I compare both C2 permitted uses and C3 permitted uses.
Does the staff concur with that?
The staff would note the maximum building size for the parcel is 75,000 square feet. The minimum lot size is 15,000 square feet, but the, for the parcel, it would be 75,000 per parcel for the building area. I believe he stated for the site, which I think combined several parcels.
So what would be a typical commercial site? What would you try to achieve? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, it depends on what you're applying for. If you're doing large-scale commercial, you're going to go C4 because remember, this is designed so that when people come in to apply, it sort of puts guardrails on so everybody knows what it is they're trying to do. You know,
yeah,
so
I mean,
there's another district you'd go for, I think, Keller, for your question.
So the C2 is called medium commercial district. The C3 is the heavy commercial district.
So what are you asking for?
C3.
And that's what you're originally asking for?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, but it's up to us to decide whether C3 is appropriate. We could arbitrarily or unilaterally just say no, we're only going to give you C2. Is that
so?
No, they've applied for C3.
Okay, so you're just laying out the baseline.
I'm laying out the I'd like to lay out the groundwork on why I think C3 is appropriate for this piece of property.
Now Keller's got me going. So he's got six parcels here.
Correct.
So he could do 75,000 on each parcel.
Correct.
Or 150,000 on each parcel.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. If the parcels will
if the parcels supported it. There are some smaller parcels. I think what Mr. Davidson is trying to explain is why C3 is an appropriate zoning district within the low-density land use classification, because the comprehensive plan says it is not.
Oh,
I believe that's his argument.
Only a portion of it says it is not. I will get into that. While trying to be brief.
So is 150 enough?
That's
what he's asking.
That's what we're asking for, because there are some site constraints. And again, I was going to get into that. I can talk a little bit about the constraints and everything, but just from a planning standpoint, anything more than that would be very tough to fit within the 37 acres, just given what we've our due diligence within the property.
Sorry, that was a big help. Now we keep tracking.
Now that you've got him all thrown off, he's going to be here all night.
All right. Some of the stated goals within the plan for new commercial zoning is to promote growth and development in areas where capital facilities and infrastructure already are available and adequate to support the growth. Currently, Artesian has both water and sewer in front of the property that serves adjacent commercial properties as well as extends to area residential communities up and down Route 9. Another stated goal is that to promote commercial development in designated commercial office and industrial areas in scale, intensity, distance appropriate to adjacent residential neighborhoods. This comes back to the fact that asking for C2, Ms. Cornwell is correct, with five or six parcels we have here, 75,000 square feet, that's a lot of square footage. We're being upfront. I'm bringing to you a project that can support 150, this land can support up to 150,000 square feet of building, along with all the other site constraints that we have to design towards and put together on paper. So that's why we're asking for C3.
Let me ask you a question, just to clarify, I think maybe for everybody. When you refer to the parcel, are you referring to the combined total of the
that's
parcels
correct.
For which, so it isn't, you're not really talking about the separate parcels, you're talking about the parcel that is outlined by that polygon on that page up there.
That's correct. So do you take all the parcels, if favorable, all the parcels will be combined as one.
Okay, well, that's why I want to make sure that we understood.
Right, okay. So let's see.
Didn't mean to break your train.
No, you're fine. The commercial development design is designated commercial office and industrial areas in scale, intensity, and distance, appropriate to adjacent residential neighborhoods. As previously stated, the Hudson family wants to provide a commercial development that is part of a community and provides for goods and services that are part of the community in scale. As I talked about in the beginning, they've been in this community for generations. This is Mr. Hudson's and his family's wishes for this piece of property is to rezone this to commercial. They've always seen this as a commercial property and it being viable at this particular part, within this part of Harbison, Delaware. The nearest residential development, with the exception of some of the lots along Route 5 here, these lots here are all zoned MR, is the Beaver Creek subdivision. And our property line actually stops within, this is a, this small area right here is a small antique store here. So we're within about 600 feet of the Beaver Creek. So we are in the vicinity of some residential neighborhoods, some older, some new, which will benefit in that the subject property is not adjacent to those developments, but they are close enough to service the residents with future services without having them to travel farther distances. Chapter 1 of the Sussex Plan talks about how commercial development will be needed to support new residential growth. There is new residential growth happening along this quarter of Route 9. Another one of the stated goals is to engage in planning that considers the efficient location of public services and infrastructure while establishing future public service, sewer service areas that will help preserve open space by promoting orderly growth rather than unplanned sprawl. This property is located in the heart of Harbison, with access to both artesian water and sanitary sewer, as well as access to two major roadway systems that, again, as I discussed, run north and south and east and west. These properties in this location with a commercial zoning will prohibit any unplanned sprawl that the comprehensive plan is discouraging. The coordination with DelDOT on road improvements and other transportation projects. During the planning of the Rural Farms project, the Hudson family worked with both DelDOT and the Rural Farms developers to allow for a shared cross-access easement within the Hudson properties. Some of my exhibits here. I can share with you the last. This plan here, this was a plan that was prepared for the Rural Farms property. Mr. Hudson's property line is right here, and he used to own this property here. The current access to Rural Farms off of Route 9 is right here, and it runs as a road that has been built all the way back to the property line to here, and then there's the cross access that comes all the way out to Route 5. That's what these pictures are here. This is the Route 9 access right there. This is a picture showing the road going back along that easement I just showed you. This right here is Mr. Hudson's lands. So he gained access. One of the entrances had been built, and then the cross access easement to his properties has been achieved through some shared access easements and him working with DelDOT and the adjacent neighbors. And then this just shows this access. This is how you get to Route 5 from that access way. Additional coordination with DelDOT occurred during the expansion and upgrades to the intersections of Route 9 and Route 5. Mr. Hudson gave up some land along the frontage so that they could expand that roadway system when they the new intersection there within Harbison. Although a TIS was not required as part of this application, the Hudsons will have to provide future transportation improvements to the adjacent roadways during the future planning of the commercial development. Even though that we didn't have to do a traffic impact study for this rezoning, and I'll get into the plus comments in just a second. Part of the once we submit our site plans to DLDOT, they will require a traffic impact study. They will require transportation improvements throughout the site, not only just in front of his properties, but if there are any identified intersections that need to be upgraded, and if this development affects those intersections, Mr. Hudson's will have to pay his share in doing those improvements. In addition to this, there is a future connection to the rails to trails pedestrian path along the existing railway tracks along the rear of the Hudson properties, which will be coordinated with DLDOT. As I showed you in the plan back here, we did present, when we presented our plan to the state planning office, I am showing a future connection back here, although I believe the rails to trails program right now stops at Fisher Road. There is a future, they are planning to, and this is an active railroad bed, it will continue to stay active, and DLDOT will coordinate with the railroad company as far as placing the rails to trails within the 66-foot right-of-way that runs along, that makes up the railroad track. Since US 9 is a principal artery and an important freight corridor, setbacks will be increased to allow for future capacity in the form of additional right-of-way, dedication, permanent easements, additional stormwater management setbacks. Intersections and commercial entrances will be consolidated to reduce access points. Service roads through the properties will link adjacent properties through these properties. Kind of show an interconnectivity network here of property. Mr. Hudson, we proposed possibly right across from a larger entrance here that to lands that his brother owns across the street, a larger trucking company. We were looking at matching that entrance up there as our primary entrance coming into the site. And then Mr. Hudson owns a small piece of land right here along Route 5, another limited access, a right in, right out on there, because there's already an access right here for Royal Farms, and then showing connectivity that will run across and parallel to Route 9 that will connect other properties in the future, such as a service road. The focus of retail and office, and we kind of touched on this just a little bit, and I won't belabor it too much, but in a low density area should be providing convenience goods and services to nearby residences is what C3 zoning proposes. Commercial uses may be appropriate depending on surrounding uses, and the surrounding uses are primarily commercial and industrial with some residential homes adjacent. As I explained, the project here, the retail industry has gone some significant transformation over the past decade with e-commerce and internet sales. You're not seeing these big boxes anymore. It's just not, they're just not happening. You're not going to see the 180,000 square foot Walmarts and the Home Depots and the Lowe's anymore. What you're seeing are smaller grocery stores coming into the area, such as Lidl, Aldi, even Redner's has a smaller footprint. Some of these smaller footprints are coming in. These are who Mr. Hudson and his family are looking at. They're targeting these companies to bring in that smaller, that 30,000 square foot grocery store that will be smaller and serve the area. With that said, when you offer up smaller areas, then you're going to need some kind of warehousing in the back to be able to store additional goods, because smaller grocery stores, they don't have a lot of storage in there. They use more for product sales. So that's the concept. That's the concept of this piece of property, is going with a smaller scale commercial development, smaller grocers, pharmacies, and retail services, and then doing the warehousing in the back that's along the rails. I met with the rail company this past week and on other projects that I've got going on within the county along railroads, and they're saying how the utilization of the railroad is starting to pick up, where goods are starting to be brought into our county to be able to provide the goods, rather than tractor trailers coming across the roads into the site. Now they're starting to, more and more product is starting to be brought in by the rails. Consistent with the comprehensive plan's future land use chapter, under chapter 13, the county has considered the development along US 9 as a business corridor. with a mix of residential and commercial uses that provide local residents with access to services that they need. Local services would reduce travel to SR1 for basic needs. Furthermore, the Sussex plan promotes US 9 vision to be tied to efforts to make the corridor multimodal. And again, I talked about the Georgetown to Lewis Rail to Trail program as being part of that multimodal aspect. Sidewalks along the front of the property, even a bike path along Route 9 will also be part of, and along a small section of Route 5 will be part of the design for this property. All this is an asset to the community, to the property, and to the area. The comprehensive plan talks about the 2015 strategy for state policies and spending, which identifies this as an investment level 3 and a small portion of it in investment level 2. This area is intermingled with a faster growing area within the county, which is adjacent to a larger portion of level 2 areas. The priorities in a level 3 area are for DLDOT to focus on regional movements between towns and other population centers. Developers and property owners will make local roadway improvements and develop as development occurs. All infrastructure needs will be funded by the applicant. Additional public infrastructure that will benefit the community, such as road improvements and access improvements, utility extensions, all will be paid for by the property owner, the applicant of that particular development. As was stated by Ms. Cornwell, we submitted an application to the Office of State Planning Coordination through the PLUS process. I did submit for the record. I don't know if I brought some copies here. I don't know if they're necessary. If I may, Mr. Wheatley, I could submit these. These are the comments that we got from State Planning, along with my responses to each one of the comments that we got from State Planning. I know I had submitted that as part of the, I had emailed that. We just received the comments from State Planning on the 20, last week, the 26th, okay. I think.
Yes, they just came in. That's not right. An issue.
Okay, sure.
The state policies can support growth through these areas. The state views these areas more on a long-term basis, and that's what was the basis of the PLUS. That's state planning. Their planners talked about how this is a this is something as a long-term basis of a development. So with that, it's here that the state will encourage the likes of a master planning for the purpose of anticipating growth. So this isn't a 1 or 2 year project. This is something that will grow and be thought out through the planning process. The resources, however, needed for applications such as this for rezoning to commercial are in place and available to the project. Currently on site, there are no wetlands on the property. The property is located in a flood zone X, unshaded. There are no historical and natural features on the property. Stormwater will be on site and use infiltration as its primary BMP for handling stormwater runoff. It's one of the aspects of the design on being able to fit the enough square footage on the site. There is no outfall, so everything, and you'll read through the, if you read through the state planning letter, the soils are very good out there. They're very sandy soils, very well-drained soils. And so primary, the stormwater will be infiltration. When you do infiltration on site for commercial properties, some of the practices tend to be a little bit larger, so it kind of restricts the amount of development that you can do on a property because you're having to adhere to stormwater the new stormwater regulations. The properties are not in any groundwater protection zones. A very small portion of the property along Delaware Route 5, and there is a map in the PLUS comments, is located within the wellhead protection area of Allen Harim. So during the design of this property, we will have to adhere to the requirements of the source water protection ordinance throughout the Sussex County, within Sussex County. There are no existing wooded areas on the site that will need to be disturbed. In addition, in the Sussex plan under Chapter 7 talks about with the utilities. I talked a little bit about, you know, how Artesian has the water and sewer service along the site. Mr. Hudson's currently working to have them with the CPCN signing the properties up, getting into the CPCN for water and sewer to be served. But the both water and sewer are right in front of his property, servicing the rural farms, and then again up and down Route 9 and up and down Route 5, servicing area residential neighborhood. Delmarva Power and Light Company has a major substation directly across from these properties, as well as easements through these properties. There's a 200-foot.
The substation is located right here, and then there's a 200-foot easement that runs right down this property here. Again, another
aspect that restricts this property from being able to do a lot of square footage within the property here because of that 200-foot easement that runs down through the property. Which provides for, that electric main that serves this area and the surrounding areas and beyond. Substantial power for the development is available. These properties are also fortunate to have a natural gas transmission pipeline located along the property. It is owned and operated by Eastern Shore Natural Gas, which is a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities. Verizon and Comcast are the main telecommunication providers operating in this service area. All of these utilities ensure quality growth of a development by the planning and development of infrastructure and services in the county to complement state and local planning efforts with adequate water, sewer, electric, natural gas, and fiber optic infrastructure to the property. It's all sitting there right now, and it's available for this property. In Chapter 2 of the plan, it talks about, with the right planning mechanisms in place and the desire to realize the vision statement set forth in this plan, the county will be able to meet the needs of the residents who choose to make Sussex County their home. And that's what we've done here, is we've provided for a project or a rezoning here to be able to meet the needs of the residents in the area. This is a community, we'll be proposing a community commercial. That is the wishes of the Hudson family who are looking to develop this site at this time. And with that, the proposed rezoning to C3 meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, meeting the purpose of this district, and the future land use plan, strategies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan that promotes growth and development through community design, mobility, utilities, transportation, and economic development in an area where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists, which is essential and desirable for the general convenience, ordered growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And with that, I conclude my presentation. And as I stated, that I think I've tried to cover how the Sussex plan states that this piece of property within this location, located along US Route 9, Delaware Route 5, which are major roadways within Sussex County, also butting up against an existing rail line that currently is still in use. C3 zoning is appropriate for this particular piece of property. And with that, we'll answer any questions you might have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
I just have one. You refer to it as a 37-acre parcel, but it's actually divided. It's actually six different parcels put together, correct?
That's correct.
Are you willing to abandon those other parcels to make it one parcel?
That's correct, yes.
Parcel?
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins.
I think I understand. I don't have any questions.
Okay. Ms. Wingate?
I just have one question. I think it's just because I'm confused, but the one drawing I'm looking at, it shows, and I know you said the sewer and the water was both going to be provided by Artesian, but it shows approximate location of septic drain field. It's a Becker Morgan plan. I don't know if that was just from original.
It might have been under...
The Royal Farms site plan?
That's the Royal Farms site plan.
Oh, okay.
And I think what they're, I'll get to it here.
But the sewer and the water will be by Artesian?
Yes, that's on there. The septic's on the plan, but yes.
I just wanted to clarify.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Gears?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Staff?
No, me, thanks.
Okay. Any questions?
I just have a clarification. Mr. Davidson kept referring to that parcel, portions of the property are in the developing area. They're not actually in the developing area for the comprehensive plan. They're in the existing developed area, which was a land use classification. We recognized that the existing parcels are zoned MR, GR, potentially commercial, but they're surrounded by low density, which would not be consistent with the low density that was deemed appropriate for those areas. So they are just referred to as existing developed areas, and it's not intended for development to can to for those areas to expand.
Okay. All right, Councilor?
No, not so much a question, but to echo that. So, you know, we've got a future land use map that shows this as
low density.
Low density. And, you know, and the one thing in our comp plan that has the force of law is that future land use map. And Title IX says that it has the force of law, and it says no development as defined in this subchapter shall be permitted except in conformity with the land use map or map series. And PLUS came back with that and said that if it's going to be rezoned, they're saying that we need to amend our future land use map first. You know, I want to go back and look at what the comprehensive plan says about what you can do in low density. But just keep that in the back of your mind, because that's an issue that we're going to have to work through one way or the other.
That would be a question that I would have. I would want to look myself, because sitting here at this moment, I really can't recall exactly everything that's permitted or allowed in a low density area. I would want to know that too.
Yeah, we'll mull it over.
Yeah. And do we have anyone from DLDOT with us this evening?
We do not.
Is that a part of it that falls into that classification, or is it the whole thing?
It's the mix.
Majority of the only thing that falls into the existing is the parcel that is zoned MR. The remainder of the property is in the low density.
It's the piece that's up on five.
Show us what piece we're talking about, please.
So it's going to be parcel 72, that one right there.
So that's the only one?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I'm not saying that, you know, we can't do it, but I want to look to see, A, if we can, or if there's a workaround if you're inclined to approve it. You know, we just got to make sure that we're doing everything in compliance with the comp plan and what the statutes say about what the comp plan means.
I think, if I could just reiterate, it does state, and you're correct, Mr. Robertson, about the land use map being there, but it does also state within, throughout the plan, it talks about how the county has the ability to make amendments to the plan, not just to the text within this plan, 280 some pages, but to the map as well. So there is the ability to be able to do that. What I merely tried to do tonight is try to explain that although this was part of a developing area, I just think that the area, we're just looking at a map that was it's a map that was drawn. I understand the amount of hours and time that went into this and the folks that were involved in putting this together, and the map is put together, this plan is put together very well. It's just that I'm saying that within this area here, to describe this 37 acres to be within 30, to be low density, to up against the existing rail line, as well as being located, I've pointed out there are several mechanisms, several goals within the comp plan that talks about how this property is right to be able to support C3 zoning.
How active is that rail line these days, since I think it's been, the tracks have been torn up a little bit further east of here?
It stops, the rail line stops at Fisher Road, which is further, further east.
Okay.
And that's where it's going to stop. Everything, it's going to stay active from there on. Allen Rim.
Is Allen Rim uses?
Yes.
So they're probably the last one on the line.
That's correct. And then they're looking for, and again, I met with the owners of the line, and they're talking about other properties within the area that are going to be accessing it. So
I'm sure they'd be happy to serve it. Yeah. Okay.
Just to serve all the activity at Allen's, you know, that one store just doesn't cut it. And, you know, that the little Harvest and Deli never did. And even the Wawa now. And that is a Wawa or
Royal Farms.
Royal Farms.
Any other questions from the commission at this point?
No.
Okay, if not, we'll ask you to take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1890 WB Hudson Family Limited? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1890? Okay, anyone on the commission have any further questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.